السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So first of all, Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Accept our fasts, our prayers, our deeds of righteousness, inshallah, and also remove the difficulties and pain from all people. Those who are not well, may Allah give them shifa, and those who passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and give them maghfirah. We are continuing our study of Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, and today we'll have the ayah 23, the section number 4 from ayah 23 onward. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. حرمت عليكم أمهاتكم وبناتكم وأخواتكم وعماتكم وخالاتكم وبنات الأخ وبنات الأخت وأمهاتكم اللاتي أرضعنكم وأخواتكم من الرضاعة وأمهات نسائكم وربائبكم اللاتي في حجوركم من نسائكم اللاتي دخلتم بهن فإن لم تكونوا دخلتم بهن فلا جناح عليكم وحلائل أبنائكم الذين من أصلابكم وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين إلا ما قد سلف إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate. It is forbidden to you to take as wives your mothers, daughters, sisters, father's sisters, mother's sisters, brother's daughters, sister's daughters, your milk mothers, milk sisters, your wives' mothers, your stepdaughters under your care, born of your wives with whom you consummated marriage. But if you have not consummated marriage, then there is no prohibition. Wives of your begotten sons, and two sisters together, save for what is past, truly Allah is forgiving, merciful. So we were mentioning that Islam brought many reforms to the Arab society, and especially in the case of marriage and divorce and inheritance. So we spoke about inheritance. The ayat that mentioned about inheritance, you explained that. Now, some rules about marriage. In the previous ayah, ayah number 22, it was mentioned that do not marry the woman your fathers, whom your fathers had married. Save what is past. Truly, it was shameful, loathsome, and in evil way. The custom among the Arabs was that people used to have many wives. Polygamy was common. And after the death of a person, his eldest son would inherit all the wives of his father, except, of course, his own mother. So his mother will treat her as a mother, but the rest of the wives will become father's wives, will become the son's wife, the eldest son's wife. And this was a custom among the Arabs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited that. And Allah said, do not marry the women whom your father had married. Whatever happened in the past, before this law came, it is past. That doesn't mean that they will keep those wives. Of course, those women, they have to separate from them. They will not be their wives anymore. But if they had any children from them, the children will not be considered illegitimate children, and they will not be excluded from inheritance. because this is something happened before the law came. So say what for what is past. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this way of treating the women, father's wives, yes, they're not all of them were your mothers, only one of them the mother, but at the same time the father's wife. And how can you do that to treat them as your wives? So it was shameful deed, fahisha, loathsome, hateful to Allah, and was an evil way. So it is absolutely forbidden. That's why Islamic law says that any woman married by the father will become haram for his children, for his sons. And in a similar way, any woman the son has married will become haram for the father after the death of the son, or if he divorces his wife, then it will be haram for the father to marry. So these are sacred relations, and they have to be kept that way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some other relatives. And mention here is for women, but I mean the reverse is also same. So Allah says, it is forbidden for you to take as wives your mothers. So a man cannot marry his mother in a similar way. A mother cannot marry her son. So this is both ways. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned women only. But the other way is obvious. So Allah says, it is forbidden to you to take as wives your mothers and mother's mothers, grandmothers, all of them will come in the same way. So mothers, grandmothers, and all the way up. And in a similar way, daughters and granddaughters. So these are, actually here you have three types of relatives that are mentioned that come among those who are haram to marry, to have the intermarriages. That is, some of them are related by blood, some of them are related by milk, and we'll explain that, and some of them related by marriage. So those who are related by blood are mothers, daughters, sisters. And by sisters mean all kind of sisters, half sisters, full sisters, and also father's sisters. And in a similar way, whether they are full sisters or half sisters, mother's sisters, so which is aunts, from the maternal aunts as well as the paternal aunts. And then brothers' daughters. And then again, brothers, whether they are full brothers or half brothers. And sisters' daughters, whether they are full sisters or half sisters. So their daughters and granddaughters, all of these things. So these are the relatives who are forbidden because of the blood relationship. Then Allah says, your milk mothers, these are the women who are not related to you, but they may have given milk to a child in the first 2 years, or according to some 2.5 years. So that is the nursing. So this mother, this woman was hired, or she has given milk to the child. And the child has taken some milk during the baby. So the age of milk is when the child has not started taking solid food. And according to the explanation given by our scholars, this has to have not just a one sip of milk, but it should be at least 5 different sessions in which the woman has given milk. This is according to majority of the scholars. Some scholars say that even one time will establish this relationship. So milk mothers, and this has to be within the early age, and when the child is about 2 years or 2.5 years. Now the milk either is taken directly from the breast, or even if the milk is drawn from the breast and put into the bottle, it's always established that. So whether in whatever way the milk is taken, even if the milk is mixed with solid cereal, for example, if the milk was there, it will establish that. Some scholars say that if milk is mixed with water or something else, and the amount of mother's woman's milk is a very small quantity, and the majority of the milk was from water or from other milk, then it will not establish that. So anyway, the point is that the milk has gone into the body of the child in early age, that establishes a relationship with that woman. So one has to be extremely careful from where the milk is taken. If there's natural milk is taken, not the baby formula, if the natural milk is taken from a woman, human milk, not animal milk, human milk, if it is taken, then it will establish that relationship. So your milk mothers, so those women who have done that, and if she has given milk to another girl, she breastfed a boy, and then she breastfed also a girl, then the boy and the girl become brothers and sisters. Or other children of this woman, they will be also brothers and sisters. So milk sisters. And our Prophet, peace be upon him, explained this further, and he said, يَحْرُمُ مِنَ الرَّضَعَ مَا يَحْرُمُ مِنَ النَّسَبِ. It's all the relatives, blood relatives, as they are haram because of the blood relationship. In a similar way, the milk relatives also will become mahram. So the woman who has given the milk, her husband will be the father of the child. And if she has given milk to a girl, then this girl will become like his daughter, and so on and so forth. So these are the rada'a relationship. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions your wise mother. That means the third kind of relationship is the relationship that comes through marriage. So if a person marries a woman, her mother is mahram to that person. After the death of his wife, or after divorcing his wife, he cannot marry the wife's mother because she is his mother-in-law. She is his mother. And in a similar way, if a person marries a woman and she was married before, and she has a child from her previous husband, then she was divorced or become widow, and she marries another person, and she brings that child, daughter, into her home with new husband. This stepdaughter will become mahram for the husband that she has married now. And because this becomes his daughter now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that these wives should be those with whom you consummate marriage. That means somebody marries a woman and then they live together, they have intimate relationship. But if divorce takes place before the consummation, in that case, that stepdaughter is not his daughter. So Allah says, born of your wife with whom you have consummated marriage, but if you have not consummated marriage, then there is no prohibition. So they had just nikah, but they did not come together. And then after that, the divorce has taken place. Then in that case, she is not, her daughter is not his daughter. also wives of your begotten sons, son's wife is like your daughter, daughter-in-law. So one is not allowed to marry. If son divorces his wife or if son passes away, one cannot marry the wife of the son. And then also the two sisters together. If one has more than one wife, one can not have two sisters at the same time. But if he marries one and then after that he divorces her, then can he marry her sister? Or if she, one passes away, then he can marry the sister if they agree. So the two sisters together. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, illa man qad salaf, except what happened in the past. Whatever happened, because they had their life, in their life there has no such rules before Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you have done that in the past, of course you cannot keep those wives. You have to observe the rule. But if whatever happened with these marriages, children born out of these marriages, then those children will have their rights. Truly Allah is forgiving, merciful. So Allah has forgiven. I mean, you will not be guilty. You will not be considered that you have committed a sin, because this was done before the law. After the law, if somebody does that, then that is haram. That is sinful. But before the law came, before this rule came, those who did that, Allah will forgive them. Truly, Allah is forgiving, merciful. So here, let us explain that. Explain further rules about marriage. Four types of prohibited marriages in Islam. Three of them are mentioned here, and fourth one is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So those related by blood, mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, both maternal and paternal, nieces, both brothers, daughters, as well as sisters, daughters. And whether these brothers are full brothers, that means they have one, the same mother and father, or half brothers, that means their brother, because of father, relationship by father, or because of relationship by mother. So, and the same thing is sisters, full sisters or half sisters. The second is those related by milk nursing, milk mothers and milk sisters. And the Prophet explained that all those who are prohibited because of blood are also prohibited because of milk. So all these mentioned here, mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, paternal aunts, maternal aunts, all of them in the same way if there is milk relationship. And one has to be very careful about that. Number three is those related by marriage. That is mother-in-law, wife's daughters from previous marriage, if marriage was consummated, son's wives, two sisters at the same time, and women who are already married. If a woman is married, one is not allowed to marry that woman, because a woman cannot have more than one husband. So women who are already married, it's haram to marry a woman who is already married. One has to make sure that she is divorced and the iddah is over. And then the fourth one is those of other religion. Islam emphasizes that Muslims should marry Muslim. The exception is for pious women from among the people of the book, that is Jewish or Christian women. As mentioned in chapter number 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 5. So Ahl al-Kitab, the women from among the Ahl al-Kitab are permissible for a Muslim to marry, but the other way is not permissible. That means a Muslim woman is not allowed to marry a Jewish or Christian man. So here only there is a permission, but with the restriction. Al-muhsanat min al-ladina utul kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said al-muhsanat, pious women from among the people of the book. Did not say al-muhsineen. So al-muhsanat only. So that's why the rule is restricted here. So, and other than the people of the book, Jewish or Christian, one is not allowed to marry in any other religion, Hindus, Buddhists, any other religious tradition, it's not permissible. So here, these are the rules that are mentioned in this ayah, ayah number 23. وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ مُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ فما استمتعتم به منهن فآتوهن أجورهن فريضة ولا جناح عليكم فيما تراضيتم به من بعد الفريضة إن الله كان عليما حكيما. Also prohibited are women who are married, except those whom your right hands possess. Thus has Allah prescribed for you. Lawful to you are all those other, all others whom you seek in marriage with gifts from your property, in honest wedlock and not in fornication. And those whom, and those women whom you enjoy through marriage, give them their bridal gift as an obligation. But there is no blame on you for what you mutually agree to offer, mutually agree to after the obligation. Indeed, Allah is knowing wise. So we mentioned that the married woman, it is prohibited to marry a married woman. And one should make sure that she was divorced or she is widow, and also further make sure that her iddah is over. Then say Allah says, accept those whom your right hand possess. These women are the provision is given because of the prevailing circumstances. These are the women who are married, but they came as prisoners of war and whose husbands are left in the enemy territory. So a woman was captured in the war and husband remained in the enemy territory. So this woman, because she is captured and brought there, then she is or left. The enemies came to attack Muslim land, and many of them left, but the women were, they departed, but the women were left in the territory, then they can be taken as captives and captives of war, and they are, even though they were married, but their marriage is over because of that. So this provision was because of prevailing circumstances. There was no convention of returning the prisoners of war or keeping them in some other ways. Both the enemies were doing the same thing. So here Islam has kept this rule, and these women were treated with dignity. So they were taken into security of homes. So they are not left alone. They are not put into prisons, but they are taken into homes. But this provision, of course, does not apply now, because of the rules of international convention related to the prisoners of war. So this was a situation. In that situation, this rule was, and it does not apply today. People have changed that, and Muslims scholars unanimously have accepted that. We follow the convention of the return or the protection of the POWs. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ, meaning all other who are not mentioned in the previous verses. So other women, you are free to marry them, and you marry them, of course, according to the rules that are given. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ فَآتُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً. So the ayah here is, وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ. So lawful to you are all others whom you seek in marriage with gifts from your property in honest wedlock and not in fornication. So other women you can marry, but you have to give them their mahar. And also the relationship should be the relationship, honest relationship, a purity of marriage. Muhsinin, ihsan means a fortress. That means they are coming into security of marriage. And you yourself also have the security for yourself. غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ, you are not committing fornication. Sifah is, that is, one is going in an illegitimate relationship. غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ. So you have to marry in a proper manner. Other women is allowed to marry, and then of course the rule are that one is, it could not be more than four. وَإِلَّا لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ. Then Allah says, فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ, and those whom you enjoy from among them, give them their mahr as a farida, as an obligation. فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ, and those women whom you enjoy through marriage, give them their bride gift as an obligation. This ayah has been interpreted two ways. The Sunni interpretation is that here istimta means marriage. فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ, that means that those whom you take, enjoy marriage with them, that in that sense, because that is comes into the context of marriage. The Shi interpretation is that this is temporary marriage. So they don't use it as a full marriage, but as a temporary marriage. As far as Mut'a, the temporary marriage, the Sunnis say that this was prohibited by the Prophet ﷺ. Of course, the ayah does not say in the proper context, the ayah does not say that. And then also there are ahadith in Bukhari and Muslim, which is reported by Ali radiallahu anhu. He said that the Rasulullah forbade that, forbade muta. And also Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that in the beginning it was allowed, but later it was forbidden. So the meaning of this ayah, فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ فَآتُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيضًا. And those whom you enjoy through marriage, give them their bride gift as an obligation. So bride gift mahar is an obligation. Whether it is agreed or not agreed, it has to be paid. And it is, if they agree on certain amount, then it is allowed for both of them to mutually agree to reduce it or increase it. وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا تَرَاضَتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Then after agreement, after the obligation, there is no harm, there is no blame on you if you mutually agree to after the obligation, mutually agree to change. فِي مَا تَرَاضَيْتُمْ بِهِ مَا. Or the woman said that I will not take the mahar. So she can give up the mahar. إِلَّا يَعْفُونَ وَيَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ. As mentioned before, that unless they forgive. So husband and wife, they must have mahar. But the mahar is, the amount of the mahar can be changed with agreement, or a woman can forgive the mahar. So that's what Allah says, فَلَا وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ. There is no blame on you if you agree to something after the obligation, after setting the obligation, after fulfilling the obligation, or after agreeing on this, inna Allah kan aliman hakima, and Allah is Allah knows everything, Allah is wise. So these rules are given to you according to the knowledge, according to the hikmah, according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we are saying that malakat aymanukum, the rule was according to the situation there, because there was no proper provision at that time for the return of the prisoners. If there is, it was allowed, the first thing was that make an agreement, whether it is by a peaceful way of returning or by some compensation returning. And if that is not there, then those prisoners will become slaves and they were treated like slaves. But here, as far as the women are concerned, one was allowed to marry them. One was allowed to have them in their relationship. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِكُمْ بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ فَانْكِحُوهُنَّ بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ وَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مُحْصَنَاتٍ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحَاتٍ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ فَإِذَا أُحْسِنَّ فَإِنْ أَتَيْنَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفُ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ الْعَنَتَ مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْ تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And whosoever among you has no means to marry the free believing woman may marry those whom your right hand possess from among your young believing women. Allah knows best your faith. You are one from another. So marry them with the permission of their people and give them their proper bride gift as married women, not as fornicators or secret lovers. When they are married, if they commit a shameful deed, they shall be liable to half the punishment of the free women. This permission is for him among you who fears hardship, but to be patient is better for you. And Allah is forgiving, merciful. So if someone does not have enough to take care of a wife, a free woman, it is allowed to marry from among slave women. And these slave women, they belong to somebody else, but he can give permission to these women to marry somebody else. If he gives permission, بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ, if they give the permission, then it is permissible to marry them, but they must be Muslims, they must be mu'min, believing women. So if they are not believing women, then one is not allowed to marry them. So if they are believing women, then one can marry them with the permission of their owners, their masters. And they also should receive some mahar. وَأَتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Proper mahar should be given, because the purpose is to live in a proper marriage. مُحْسَنَات. Not having fornication and not have secret relationship. وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ. So these women are not going to have secret relationship with anyone, but they have to marry in the proper manner. And one is only marry them in the right way, not committing openly fornication or secret fornication. One is مُسَافِحَات is open fornication. Muttakhidat aqdan is secret relationship, secret lovers. فَإِذَا أُحْسِنَّ فَإِنْ أَتَيْنَا بِفَاحِشَةٍ. If they are married, but they commit some sin, then there is a punishment for them. But the punishment for them, for the slave woman, is half the punishment of the free woman. فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفُ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ بِنَ الْعَذَابِ. And why it is half? Because they may not have the same kind of security as the free woman will have. So they may be working and doing all the things so in this possible that they may get into a difficult situation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ الْعَنَةَ مِنْكُمْ. And this rule is for those who cannot live without marriage. Those who fear hardship upon them. So if somebody feels hardship then and cannot have a free woman, then he can marry these slave girls. وَأَن تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But if you are patient, it is better for you. So that means it is better to avoid that. But it is permissible. Allahu Ghafur Rahim. Allah is most merciful. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So here you have some important rules about marriage that were given. Let's take that the abolition of the Jahili custom. The eldest son used to inherit all the wives of the father, except his own mother. Whatever happened in the past, of course, all the things that are haram, one has to stop. One cannot continue with that. But at the same time, there are certain things that happen after the marriage. So children born out of that relationship, they will not be called illegitimate and they will not be excluded from inheritance. And then we have a whole detail about whom one can marry and whom one cannot marry. Those whom one cannot marry, they become known as mahram. So mahram women or mahram men, that is those who are, it is haram to marry each other. So any person whom it is haram to marry the other person, that person becomes a mahram. And mahram means that a woman is allowed to not to cover herself in front of him, and they both can meet each other and all the thing. But they, because they are like very close blood relatives or married relatives, so that's mahram here. Some of the mahrams are abadi, mahram forever, and some of them are mahram temporarily. The blood relatives are for mahram forever. But the mahram of sister's husband is mahram only at the time when he's married to the sister. After the death of the sister or the divorce of the sister, he is allowed to marry the other sister. So that mahram is a temporary mahram. And a number of other relationships with that. And then you have also the permanent mahram is in the situation of rida'a, when a woman has given milk to a child in this early age. Then she is forever mahram and he is a mahram to that woman. And as I mentioned that mentioned here, the ladies are mentioned, but ladies, the reverse is also the same rule. So حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. It is haram for you to have as wives your mothers, and it is haram also for the mothers to marry their sons. بَنَاتُكُمْ, that is your daughters, and same thing is also for the daughter. And to have the son marrying sons, all this. So these are basically the rules that can be reversed and used for men and women both. So we can take some questions, inshallah. Then we'll go to some other point.
Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. Just a quick clarification. So the ruling for Muslim men, that they can, the permission for them to marry Christian women, is that still applicable today with the changes that Christianity has witnessed over the years?
I mean, one has to understand that it is called wal muhsanat min alladhina utul kitab. Muhsanat, the pious women, the righteous women, those who are not involved into, you know, illegitimate relationship, dating and all of these things. If that is not the case, then one can marry. Yes, it is permissible because that's Allah's rules and there is nothing that can change that. But it is not preferable. Preferable is, of course, you marry your own, that is those who are of the same faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, that a believing slave woman is better than a non-believing woman. And in a similar way, a believing man, even if may be a slave, is better than a free person who is not a believer. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. We're often asked this question, and thank you for the clarification. Anyone else have any questions? Please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Yes, yeah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, everyone. Dr. Siddiqui,
Ramadan. Wa alaikum assalam.
It's awesome. May Allah bless with all the du'as you continue to make, mashallah. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Dr. Saab, my question is, I'm sure you have exposed to the experience of the attitude of the youth towards girlfriend, having relationship and not getting married, and even the marriage ceremonies, they don't want any religious rituals. I mean, I see a lot of problems in this area. They say, well, if both parties agree and they want to marry each other, so they are husband and wife in the eyes of God. All kind of this tough question which you may have encountered. So what do you advise? I mean, it is really real close to the Muslim community. So...
Yeah, this is the influence of the culture, influence of the society that is affecting behavior. And people are doing things against the teachings of God, against their religion. So we have to educate our children, our youth, from the very early age. Emphasize this point that what should be the relationship between males and females. The free mixing creates those kind of problems. So it is proper dress, proper behavior, proper etiquettes. These are required. Yes, we can be good to each other, but not having kind of secret relationship and doing things that are beyond the limit. So going beyond the limit is something forbidden. And that's how, for that, then Islam says that you do not even approach that which will make you commit the sin.
So what should be the parents, do they have to boycott this kind of wedding, not attend, and then cut relation? I mean, this is becomes more complicated. If somebody, I don't want to go with names and all that, if people do not follow this, the girls are marrying Christian boys or Hindus or whatever the other options are in love they get into.
They should give proper counseling, and if they are not able to counsel them, then should seek help from other counselors, Muslim counselors who can help in that. Imams can help. Some other people who are more in this field, they can do the counseling and try to help them, and see that if a Muslim girl want to marry a non-Muslim boy, then that person should accept Islam. If that person does not accept Islam, then they should not, because it's haram for them to have in their relationship. لَهُنَّ حِلُّ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ يُحِلُّونَ لَهُنْ. They are not allowed for them. Then in this situation, parents should make it very, very, very clear that this is haram relationship. We will not participate. But at the same time, they should not boycott their children. Keep the relationship that maybe they will come back to the right path, inshallah. But as far as the marriage ceremony is concerned, then they should not attend that. They should not participate in that, because they have to show that this is haram relationship and we cannot support that. However, individually, yes, I mean, their sons and their daughters, so they have to, they should try to see that their good relation remain, and with always emphasizing the point that they should do right things. I mean, there are people not only in that, the other kind of things are happening also. Homosexual relationship also happening and other relationship happening. So one has to try to guide the children, keep on giving them advice, being good role models among them, counseling them in the community. All these things, this is the way how we have to correct that. But a total separation will not bring them to the right path.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Saab.
Walaikum assalam.
You mentioned that Malakat Aymanukum, there since UN Charter passed a resolution and then all country are bound to accept that. If tomorrow the same sex marriage, if UN accept a resolution that it's accepted all over the world, so is it applicable to all Islamic country? Do they have any voice? Do they? What is the Islamic position on that?
Well, I mean, that's absolutely forbidden. So it's not a convention. It's not because of the war or something like that. It is something that is the rules have already been given for that by Islam. So one has to follow that. You cannot change that rule. And Muslim countries will not accept that. So the marriage, homosexual marriages, they are not, I mean, because this whole act is mentioned in the Quran in many places. Yeah. The whole act is forbidden. It's a fahisha. It is fornication. It is an indecent act.
Yeah, I see. But the same way the Quran has mentioned about the Malakat Aymanukum also, you know, that how our Islamic scholar explained this situation, that when the Quran has said that, and Hadith is also saying that over the years, the war can happen, tomorrow can happen, and the same situation can
Wars are happening, but there are conventions. People have to follow those conventions also. And people have together, the human beings together have agreed to abolish that. So slavery is abolished. It should have been abolished because the way Islam is emphasized that one should not take a free person as a slave. And the slaves should be given freedom, even if you do some violation of the rules, break your fast or break your oath, all of these things that you free. So freedom of the slave was from the very beginning in Islam. And if you would have Muslims have continued doing that, the slaves would have been freed a long time ago. And this would have been forbidden completely. So, but thank God that people have agreed to this. And humanity has agreed now that slavery is abolished. Slavery is, and Muslims together have agreed to that. So one should not say that it is there in the Quran. Quran did not say they would go and make slaves. Slaves were there. This situation was. And the Prophet ﷺ said that is Umar radiallahu anhu says, that is, when children are given birth as free, how come you made them slaves?
I see. Okay. But Malakat Aymanukum comes under slaves?
Malakat Aymanukum was, they said, the dot whom your right hand possess. This is interpreted as slaves.
I see. Whether they are men or women, eh?
Yes.
I see. Okay, yeah. Okay, JazakAllah.
Dr. Siddiqui, going back to the question in the beginning, just a follow-up question. So if the wife is Christian, married to a Muslim, her husband is Muslim, what is likely to be her situation in the Akhirah?
Say it again. If the wife is...
If the wife is Christian, she was married to a Muslim, husband, what is her situation going to be in the akhirah then?
Allahu alam, if she accepts Islam, inshallah, they will be together. If not, then they were their relationship here in this world only.
I think one of our viewers wants to know is how will she be judged, and Allah only knows best. But
I mean, it is all on the righteousness, on the faith. So we cannot make it, our judgment about people. Final judgment is in the hand of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. But as far as we know, that to enter the Jannah, one iman is necessary, and this iman requires that. So that's why if people marry someone from the Ahlul Kitab, and they should try to see that their wives become Muslims and accept Islam and say Shahada, inshallah, then they will be together here in this world, in the hereafter. As far as if they have not, what will happen? Well, it all depends what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment will be.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. If there are no more questions, then of course we will continue with classes next week. Sheikh Shahid's class and of course Dr. Siddiqui's tafsir class. Follow ISOC on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter, and for complete program details, check the weekly newsletter. And now, of course, we do have the ISOC mobile app. You can get updates, notifications, news of events, links, and donation options right at your fingertips. For details, visit ramadan.isocmasjid.org. Dr. Siddiqui, may we join you for a closing dua, sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. والله we pray to you to bless us. Accept our fast, accept our devotion. Keep us on the right path. Bless us. Bless us here in this life and in the life to come. Remove all the difficulties and all the pain and suffering from the people. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم
الراحمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام.
جزاك الله خير.